Hey, fellow traveler, welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, starseeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. Today I have with me Dustin, and he's going to talk to us about his spiritual awakening journey, energy and synchronicity, guides and gifts, and the Akasha. It's going to be an awesome conversation, I have absolutely no doubt. So Dustin is working with an understanding that through the intuitive connection of our energy force, we connect to ourselves, those around us, and the all. So thank you, Dustin, for being here. I'm super excited to dive in with you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, or for having me here. It's very exciting. It's different from being from the listener perspective to be on the podcast itself. So it's exciting.
So will you tell us a little bit about yourself and like kind of how you got to this place of having that understanding or working with that understanding of like, you know, the connection with our energy force and the interconnectedness between all of us? What brought you to this place?
Yeah, so I kind of feel like through most of my life that like the spiritual journey or the spiritual walk or the spiritual side of life has always been a big calling for me. You know, in my childhood, I grew up in a relatively Christian, background. My parents weren't very religious themselves, but I ended up connecting with some friends at school that had taken me to some youth services. And so God and my relationship with God has always been a present part of my life. Kind of what ended up, I guess, really changing things for me was around 10 years old. And I think that, there's been, talk of your life trauma and what kind of, starts your whole path essentially of recovery and acceptance and moving forward and finding your true self. So for me, a lot of it kind of came down to when my parents ended up splitting when we were 10. And, it was obvious, an obvious emotional impacted kind of situation that was, I think everybody took it differently. For me, because of just where I was, I looked at, everything in that situation, and I turned to God and just kind of started asking why. Why would we be in a world where, if God is so loving and God is so kind that we have so much hurt and so much pain? And it really started to open my eyes to just the real world around me, because before this, I guess I was just in my own little bubble of perfection, And so I started to realize that there was things outside of myself that are out of my control, and there are things that are in this world that we can't see, we can't necessarily feel, but we do. We can't necessarily touch, but we do. And really, kind of questioning the bigger reasoning behind everything, and it's been a journey throughout most of my life, kind of one foot in and one foot out. Like there's been moments in my life where I've had moments of, just total understanding that the universe is perfect and everything in it is meant for a reason, and moments just where it doesn't make sense and it's all complete chaos. As I got older, I think the notion of, instead of looking at it as God, it was really this emotion of energy or of love really started when I tried to figure out why we do things to each other, or why it is that the decisions that we make have the impact that it does. And, through various different journeys, I guess, I started to understand that God, so when we talk about God, it's more of an energy force, and realizing that if we take the word God out of it, because that's where the stigma comes from, that's where I think a lot of people get hung up on the essence of life. And when we look at it as energy, we look at the binding force that connects all of us, you know, from the energetic pulses of like the molecules and the atoms and the vibrations of them turning and moving, to the breathing aspect of our physical body, to watching the movement of the earth, like, you know, from plate tectonics to, you know, an avalanche, like there's energy inside all of it. And what I started to realize was that this energy had connects all of us to each other, to the nature and the world, to the universe around us. And it was a very interesting like realization that we are all made of energy, because you really start to understand that things from like touch to eye contact to a smile to just even words all connects us in this like web of, you know, a web of energy, essentially. I mean, I don't even know how to really describe it beyond that, but it's just, it's a transferring of energy from people to creature to creature, from, you know, trees and rocks and crystals to, you know, the air we breathe and what is carried within it. Yeah, I mean, it was just, I mean, throughout my life, that was like the one single constant that really kept coming back up. Fast forward, I guess, into more of when I started realizing that there was more to it than just that. I think I've always kind of had like that touch within the spiritual realm, but it's almost to a point where I guess it's kind of scary, because you don't know, you know, what you're seeing is real, or what you're feeling is real. Is it just something that, you know, I'm kind of imagining, I guess you would say. But the more that I started opening myself to it and just kind of stepping away from, I guess, the seeds of doubt, the more you start to see that these things are real. But I guess that's, without going off on too far of a tangent, I guess that's kind of where I'll stop at.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I feel like, oh my gosh, there's so much in there. I guess I'll take the very last thing that you said about when you start connecting with the unseen world, and that thing that I honestly think that all of us go through, and I can't say for sure because I have not, you know, conducted rigorous interviews with every single person in the world. So I don't know, but it's a speculation. But I think probably even the most profoundly psychically activated people still wonder if they imagined that, or if it was a hallucination, because it's, you know, we're so used to interacting with physical matter, which, you know, when it's a sound, like even if you hear a sound in the forest, for example, right? And like you hear a bird, but it's kind of an unusual bird call that you're not used to hearing. Your first instinct is to open your ears more and like still yourself and listen to see if you hear it again, because there's still a part in our mind that is like, did I just make that up? And so even with physical matters, stuff that has like is interacting with our five physical senses, we have a tendency to sort of default to that doubt place. But of course it's amplified when we're experiencing things that don't seem to be grounded in the material realm, then we so doubt ourselves. But to me, it's like such a simple pivot, like you said, to like disengaging with the doubt and engaging with like the possibility that this is real. And as you sort of unplug from that doubt, you realize like, oh, it is real. But if I was to believe in my doubt, then it becomes not real, because the belief in my doubt is what determines how I perceive it, you know?
It's, you know, because I think that regardless of what area that you focus on, whether it's like psychic abilities or intuition or even the world, you know, the world of synchronicities or the law of attraction or manifestation, like into ghosts and all of that, I mean, there's something about the aspect of fate that I think has been programmed into our DNA or into our, you know, into our genes, of understanding that there are things around us that are outside of our basic understanding. And I feel like, you know, for myself, at least, you know, within my spiritual walk, once I opened myself up to the idea that it was more than just organized religion or more than just like a creed or a structure, you know, for society, like you start to realize that there is more beyond all of this. And yeah, there is that moment, those moments of clarity and moments of insanity, right? Where, you know, you see things like, you know, I've had my own experiences with seeing entities and stuff. And it's like, you know, obviously there was, you know, usage of drugs in my teenage years and stuff. And there's ways to easily kind of, you know, say, okay, well, that's just because of this, or that's just because of this, because we've lived most of our life, you know, being rooted in a material plane, you know, from, you know, the programming that we get from TV or from our parents or from teachers or from everything. It's just really kind of focused on this, like, you know, what you see in front of you, you have to see it to believe it. And when you step back and just realize that there's so much more interesting things out just outside of our purview, that, you know, when you take that jump or you take that chance, it's pretty fantastical, you know?
Totally, totally. And so I'm so interested in if you have any stories that you want to share around seeing physical entities, but I'm also curious, or whatever, it doesn't have to be physical entities, but I'm also curious, do you think, because I agree, I feel like there's so much strangeness because this is such a, you know, yes, through all that programming and conditioning and just the way we're guided, basically, whether it's nefarious or incidental, I think it's a combination of both, where we focus deeply on the physical material realm. And so therefore we kind of like filter out, our brains learn to filter out all kinds of other information. But do you think it's just as simple as like be like opening up your interest and your curiosity to experiencing more that invites it in?
Yeah, 100%. And a lot of it, because, you know, like I've always felt that I've had kind of a sensitivity to, you know, it's not that I'm like, it's not full blown like Sixth Sense, you know, Bruce Willis kind of style where I'm seeing dead people, or, you know, the kids seeing dead people. But, you know, there has been times where it's just like the presence of something else in the room has been felt, even as a young kid. And, you know, I remember like, you know, 6 to 10, somewhere around those ages, like, you know, a lot of it started because my dad was really into like the X-Files, right? And he loved a lot of this like alien stuff, you know, extraterrestrial and just shit that makes you kind of like scratch your head and like, wait, hold on, like, is this true or what's going on, you know? And so like, you know, I easily, like, looking back, would like play it off like, oh, it's just because I saw something on TV. But it's like you would see figures in the backyard or, you know, aliens, like, and it's like, maybe am I imagining things or maybe am I not, you know? You really look at it like, okay, as a kid, it's like you're almost like you're overactive imagination. But, you know, as I got into my teenage years and started experimenting with, you know, the usage of different kinds of drugs and stuff like that. And, you know, for me, a lot of it was, you know, a coping mechanism to deal with, you know, the trauma that was going on at the time. But I also do truly believe that there are certain drugs, you know, psychedelics and otherwise, that essentially lift that veil that is put on, you know, put in between us from this realm and the other realm, or the spirit realm, or, you know, the one that is here but is not, you know. And I remember, you know, there was a time, it was about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I've always gone back and looked at this, you know, kind of reflected on it to see, is this something that was just kind of a hallucination as a result of doing, you know, drugs, or was this something that I saw because I was able to, you know? And it was about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking home from a friend's house, and I'm getting off. We had light rails in where I was living, so kind of like above ground subways almost, right? And I got off the light rail, and at that stop, I had to walk up the stairs to the top of the bridge to walk down the street to eventually get to my house. And so I got my music on, and that's always been something that is always, music has always been a very important aspect. It's always just, it sets the tone, sets the mood. It's something that has always been an active part of my life. And I think that that has a lot to do with this too, is just being in tune to different vibrations. But I'm walking down to the bottom of the down the bridge, and I'm gonna cross the street. But I felt as I was about to cross the street, like I sensed something, like not behind me, but I saw, like I felt the energy pulling from behind me. And I looked back, and there was this guy, and it wasn't like a real guy. It was actually like an entity of light in the shape of a guy, right? So he was probably about 6'2", and I couldn't see any features of this person. It was just white light. Like it was like a yellowish white light. And it scared the living shit out of me. I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I have no idea what this is. I'm freaking out, but I know that this is real, and it wants me. Like I'm starting to trip out, and so I start running because I don't know what else to do. It's just like you see this kind of stuff, and I freak out, and I start running, and this thing starts running after me. And I look back, and every time I look back, it's like this ungodly speed. Like it wasn't like he was running, but it was like he was teleporting, almost like from one space to the next. But it was like a movement that you could see, but you would. It was like in those moments when you watch those scary movies, you know, when you're watching that like possessed girl kind of moving super quick down the hallway, like,
yes.
So that was kind of that's the feeling that I was having, and that's what I was seeing. And I'm like a quarter mile to half a mile from my house, and all I know is I gotta get the hell home. And so I'm running as fast as I can. I feel my heart racing. I check back, and every time I look back, this thing, it's almost like it's getting closer. It's getting closer. I could feel it barreling down on me. And as I run into my driveway, I feel it like grabbing at my feet, and I race into the house, and I open the door, and I slam the door shut, and I look out the window, and he's gone. And that was it. And like I knew if it caught me that something would happen. I just didn't know what, and I didn't want to find out. And so that happened, and that was basically the end of that experience. And you know, as I got older a couple years later, you know, same kind of situation, you know, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, I've been partying, you know, been doing, using drugs as well. And this time I was out in a different place, different state. I was out in the forest, and I was out in the woods because a friend of mine had a house out there. And I'm looking out into the darkness, just kind of checking out trees and just being there. And all of a sudden I started seeing these little figures, and it wasn't like shadow people or anything like that, but it was like these, they were like blue and reds and greens, but they were in the shape of these people, but they weren't like people, but you knew that they were in the shape of a person, and they were kind of playing in the background of the trees. And as I focused more and I kind of put more time or more energy into it, they started moving towards the front of the trees, and they started coming out of the trees. And like they stayed at the street level from, like, because you had the forest and then you had the road that separated us, and then I was on the other side. And fortunately, they didn't go across the street, because I could tell, like, it wasn't good feelings I was getting from them. And so, like, they stayed where they were, but they were present of me. They knew who I was, and they knew I was there. And so it was almost like this, they wanted me to come across the road, but I knew better, and I wasn't going to. And as I've, you know, gotten older, it's like this understanding that I know that this stuff is there. And I knew that if I gave it the more energy or more attention that I gave it, the more that it would interact with me. And so I just kind of would just silently kind of watch, almost like a fly on the wall. And so they didn't come across the street any further. And I went inside the house and told my friends, and obviously they kind of disappeared, like the entities disappeared as I brought everybody out. And that was like the end of that. But those are like the two most specific times where like entities were interacting with me. I've had other experiences, like I considered it a God experience, where it was, you know, I'm sitting outside, and it was a moment where I was arguing with a friend of mine. We were arguing about something, you know, it was a debate about life, and it wasn't like we were fighting or anything, but it was just like a very intensive debate about, and I can't even remember the topic. And I just remember going outside, and I told them I had to go, like, I had to go outside and just go sit for a bit. And I brought my Bible out there for whatever reason. And I wasn't a Christian or a religious person, but it was just like this feeling that came to me. And so I went out to the porch and I'm sitting outside. The place that I was at was like a horse ranch. And so my friend had like four horses, you know, and they're out in their pen and they're just kind of doing what horses do, you know, they're grazing on their grass and stuff. And all of a sudden I'm watching the sky and the sky just goes from clear blue. And then all of a sudden you see these thunder clouds, like these dark clouds, like start to form coming from like the sides into the center. And like, normally, like, you know, when you're watching, you know, animals and stuff, especially when thunderstorms and, you know, farm animals and whatnot, like they start to sense that these, you know, it's coming, and they start to, like, you know, get prepared and go, you know, into their shelter and all of that. These horses were just like nothing had changed for them, you know. And I'm watching as this force of nature is coming, and I'm watching as the buildup happens, and splash, all of a sudden this rain comes down, and it's just like it's not like an instantaneous thing. It's like, it's just rolling, like almost like a blanket over the land. And as the horses are feeling like the drops, they just kind of stop eating. And I look up and they just like realize, okay, well, it's time to go. And they all just kind of in a row calmly like walk into the barn. And that was that. It was just like the scene was changing. Like you're watching this theater, you know, and the scene's changing and these horses are dipping out, but it's like the power and the energy and the force and electricity in the air. It was becoming a very emotional moment. And it was like, I felt like God was like reaching out through me. And so I had opened up the Bible and I was reading, it was Isaiah, and it was about coming to God in the time of comfort. And I'm like reading, and the more I'm reading, the more this buildup is happening. And I'm feeling like this thunderstorm, and it's coming closer and closer to me. And I'm like at the edge of the wall. And as the water is dripping, you know, as it's coming closer, like I keep scooting like further back so I'm not getting wet. And I end up right at the edge of the wall, and there's no overhangs or anything like this. But as I'm getting to the point where the water is coming right up to my knees, it literally stops at my knees, and it's raining just right at me, but it's dry. My body, you know, to all the way behind is all dry. And it just all of a sudden, like, it's there. And it was like this super intense moment of just like energy and force and nature. And I'm like in deep in the Bible, like just reading and like feeling this moment of connection where I'm not alone. And it was just like, you know, in this world, in this universe, and everything, like, we are connected. And it was just that understanding that God is us. And like, it's not that we are God, but God created us, you know. And you can put the source or the all or whatever you want, if God is that stigmatized thing for you, but that's it. Like, it's all of us. We are, this is us, and I am everything, and you are me, and all of that kind of stuff. And it was like, as soon as that realization came, the rain just stopped, and like the clouds were gone, and the sun pops out, and the horses just stroll back on out and start going back to grazing. And like, I ran back inside, and I'm like, I just saw God. Like, I just saw like the creator. And obviously, like, you know, it's like you have that experience, and it's like, you know what you had, and nobody, like, you can't express it to where like somebody's like, yeah, that is, you know, unless somebody else has had that experience, they just kind of like nod their head at you like, yeah, man, that's cool, you know. But yeah, yeah. Like, those are some of the more intense ones that I've had, you know.
That's amazing. I think that the way that you described the storm, that was like, you know, God making itself, God's self known to you, yeah, was beautifully described. And I totally know what you mean at the end when you're like, you like, you've had this intense moment, and you go and like, you try to tell somebody, and they're like, what is, like, oh, you saw God? What did he or she look like? You're like, well, it was a storm. And like, it's so impossible to articulate it truly in words. Yeah, it just doesn't fit in words because it's so far beyond that. But I've similarly had powerful experiences during storms that I can't really begin to articulate. But it's like you said, if somebody's had a similar situation, they get it. And if they haven't, they're like, wow, you saw a storm. You're like, no, I saw God.
Yeah, you know, and it's just this, what I've started to realize, because like, you know, I feel like my life is, it becomes so cyclical. Like life is so cyclical, and I've had such a, you know, one foot in, one foot out, like God is real, God is not, this is real, this is not, you know, and like trying to like figure out that place in the world where it all fits. And like, I think a lot of it comes down to just wanting to find the truth and wanting to find, you know, at first it's like, what is the right answer? Because that's how we're trained and that's how we're programmed, is like there's a right answer and a wrong answer. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and whether you talk about it, and I'm not like, I don't like bashing on anybody's religion or anything, because it's like, that's your path. That's great. Like, I'm so happy for you. But it's like what I found from my own experience with a lot of organized religion was that it was this almost power grab or a fight to who has the right path. And it's not, because it's like you said, like you can't articulate God. You can't articulate the power of the creator or of the life force that gives us all of this, because we can't comprehend it. You know, it's just a feeling. It's that notion of understanding, you know, and like, when we start to awaken ourselves to that, or whether it's, you know, awakening ourselves to our divine intuition or to our psychic abilities, or awakening ourselves to, you know, the truth about life, you know, and you can go like, you know, I'm a truther 100%. Like I'm a truth seeker, and that's, you know, from anything and everything, like I have an open mind to it, because I think that in our reality, like all of it connects and all of it is together, you know, like, God is in, it's in me and the breath I take, or, you know, the sense of the flowers that you smell, you know, it's in the laughter that you have when you're watching your kids play, or when you're, you know, connecting with friends, you know, it's like, that's God. And it's also like the suffering and the hurt, because without that, like, you know, without the pain or the loss, or without like the hurt that we experience, we don't get to experience the love that much more fully, you know? So it's everything, you know?
Yeah, I agree completely. I remember recording, it was like, I think it was only a tiny little 10-minute thing a couple years ago while I was driving for work, on my voice memo. And I wanted to share it on the podcast, but as you can tell, listeners, I err on the side of long podcast episodes. They just feel good to me. So I don't think I ever aired it, but it was this like really deep realization I had in the moment. It wasn't my first time having that realization, but you know, they come back to us and we like sink into them more deeply. And it was like, yeah, it's all God, all of it. And our human desire to categorize what is good and what is bad, and to see God is only good, and you know, all the bad stuff is not God, or the absence of God is just a misunderstanding. There's nothing really wrong with it, except that people get really attached to it, and then they kind of create problems and unnecessary drama from that place. But it's all there. It's impossible for it not to all be the one. Everything is the one, including the darkest dark. And that can be hard to reconcile, because like you said, that question you had as a child, I think a lot of people get stuck on that. And, you know, some of us feel able to sort of understand, like move through it and understand the gift, or the gift is my favorite word, that's available through the hard things. The expansion in our perspective and our understanding of ourselves and our relationship with life, you know, that comes through the hard experiences. But that initial question of like, if God is so all loving, then why is there all this suffering? Yeah. And it's just sort of like, because ultimately the suffering is, the suffering exists only in the aspect of God consciousness that is attached to this identity.
Yeah.
That's experiencing the suffering. So that doesn't mean it's not real. Like I try my hardest to not use the word illusion, but it slips in all the time.
I do think that, sorry to cut you off, but I mean, you know, it's that I was listening to, I think it was one of the podcast and simulation, you know, it's the same thing, illusion or simulation, false reality. Like it's the appearance of, you know, it's the appearance of what is in front of us. And it's the way to be able, I guess, to explain it, you know. It's, I feel like, I think that we put ourselves at such a disadvantage by holding on to like certain cookie cutter ideologies about, you know, what this is. You know, there's a difference in terms of, I was reading or listening to a book, I think yesterday, and, you know, they're discussing from the standpoint of, you know, philosophy versus religion. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, absolute truths versus relative truths. And essentially what it comes down to is God's understanding of the universe and our understanding of the universe. There's such a disconnect there because we can't comprehend what the creator or the source or the all has in mind for us. You know, like when you look at it, you know, it's like this whole universe is a mental construct or a dreamscape or a, you know, a simulation, because that's what makes sense, you know, and because God, you know, or the source, the all, is creating this as a way to experience it himself, you know, or itself, you know. And that means everything, the ups and the downs and the goods and the bads. And it's like, I think, you know, the Hindu tradition has a lot of good to say when they're talking about like awareness and the eye and how, you know, basically the only thing that is real is I, you know, is the I, is myself. Like, I can only prove that I am real, and everything else is a part of this reality that I'm creating. Like when you're in a dream, you know, when you're dreaming, you know that you're real and everything else in that dream is real to create that dream, but they're not actually real, if that makes sense. You know, they're constructs that you've made.
Yes, I absolutely think that's what this realm is. It's different, you know, like I think sometimes too, or at least for me, I can only speak for myself really, that I had kind of wondered that for a long time. Like, is this a dream? Is this life a dream? But I was thinking, well, there's more continuity to this experience than there is to, you know, what I recall from my dreams. My dream dreams, not my, you know, nighttime astral travel, yeah, cool experiences. My regular dreams are kind of all over the place, really hard to articulate the next morning because they're so jumbled. They don't follow a linear narrative, even though they make sense to me while they're happening. So I thought, oh, well, this can't be a dream. But when I started to really switch over and be like, no, this is a dream insofar as exactly like the only thing that's real is I, and that doesn't mean that doesn't make everybody else not real, but it means that we are all I.
Yeah.
And that I am is so powerful. It determines how we experience the dream, because it determines how we navigate the dreamscape. Yeah. And figuring that out has been like super cool for me, because now I manifest like so freaking fast now that I'm just like, oh, I'm just learning how to lucid dream in this, you know, this way.
Yeah.
And everything kind of responds to the power of my I am presence and my I am command. It's really cool.
Yeah. There's so, and I agree with you, because it's, you know, dreams are such a, I don't want to say it's randomized, because there's so much, I think that there's a lot more to the dream world than what I understand, you know what I mean? And I know there's other people out there that have really deep dived into it, but like versus a dreamscape, I would almost want to pin it as a conscious meditation, you know, like, so this is actually, that question is what really broke me out of this whole thing, right? Because my whole walk, my whole journey throughout life has just been trying to understand truth and real in a world of kind of craziness and uncertainty, right? And walking through my life, I've taken a lot of kind of basing it on my own experience versus trusting the experience of others, just because of my life and what I've experienced and what I've dealt with. You know, the experience of others is typically, you know, my younger days, it hurt me. And so, you know, I really wanted to understand for myself. at the same time, knowing that, you know, I was sensitive to this other realm, and it scared me because, you know, I grew up understanding or being programmed that it was evil or dark or ghosts and aliens or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, or telekinesis or magic gifts or all that stuff is, you know, evil stuff. You know, you have this fear that I have this, you know, underlying fear that kept me from really diving into it, right? And so, like, a lot of my path has been from a very observant standpoint. You know, I practiced a little witchcraft in my earlier days. I understood the power of magic and nature and what we had, but also taking a very skeptic approach to it, because what if Satan really is real? And what if I'm actually giving my soul to the devil? And what if I'm spending my whole life, you know, the afterlife in hell? And all that crazy, you know, it's not crazy, but it's just like, you know, you get into this whole, like, you know, you create that. And so it's just like, I was really stood almost apart from it all. And my wife and I, you know, I've also, like, been in and out of, you know, various just truth-seeking movements, I guess you'd say. And, you know, this last couple of years especially, and what really hit me on a lot of this, and understanding that there's things going on outside of our world, or outside of our, like, little reality that really needs to be attacked, it really needs to be approached, it really needs to be addressed. And without going too deep into it, you know, it's like, it started for me, you know, back in like 2013, I started getting into, like, Illuminati stuff. And as I got deeper and deeper into that and realized, like, the power that they are kind of conjuring, there was that same moment where I had to step back, because I'm just like, these people are very powerful. If this is true, like, we have no control. And, like, it really started to scare me, because it's just like understanding that there's power there, but I'm too scared to see it, right? And then coming back around, you know, and really trying to put that in my, you know, in the background, or ignoring that, and coming back around to, you know, the Jeffrey Epstein case and all of that blowing up, and what that really started, and Pizzagate, and all of these different kinds of things that really started to, the lid started getting blown off. And, you know, I'm, you know, whether or not, like, you know, you personally or listeners believe in it or not, it's not the matter, because, like, there really is a multi-billion dollar human trafficking ring that is underground, that is one of the most profitable businesses in the world right now. And there really is those kind of problems that are happening. And, you know, as I started to research and get back into a lot of this alternative reality viewpoint, everything starts connecting. You know, you watch this show about, you know, just talking about different groups, or you see this research, or you see something that pops up about, you know, forecasting of the populations and all of that. And it was just like, so many things started clicking, and it, like, this portion of life just awakened me to this fire inside of wanting to create a better world, you know, and wanting to see evil stop, and, like, realizing that if evil is in our world, or if these powers that are utilizing and practicing evil are real, and they are actually, you know, it's actually working, then consequently, the good side of everything is real, and God, and, you know, at that point in my life, you know, like, God and Jesus is real, and I still believe that Jesus is very real. I don't know if it's necessarily depicted the way that modern day religion has it set up, but coming through all of this, my path to coming closer to God and coming closer to my spiritual side really started to open up. And then one night, you know, after we started going to church, you know, we were at church for about 6 months, and, you know, my wife and I, we were going to a Baptist church. And so it was very regimented, very structured. And you know, it was something that we really at first liked, because we wanted a no bullshit, no frills, no, you know, we wanted just God. And we wanted, you know, at that point, it was the Bible, you know, and it was like, because that's the understanding that God talked to us through there, you know. So it's like, I don't want the people in between. I don't want the priests. I don't want the confession booths. I want the relationship with God. And after about 6 months, that was kind of what we came to an understanding with, was that, like the organized religion wasn't necessarily for us. My wife had one thought process, and my thought process was more that I thought it was this, and it's like Jesus and, you know, Jesus and meditation. I don't think I feel that there was more to it. Like, I feel that Jesus had a message of love and peace and forgiveness, but also showing people how to connect to the Christ consciousness and to God through that. And I think that, like, as we've gone on throughout history, you know, as we can see that religion has been used as a cudgel to keep people, you know, in a little box, they've taken these things out because of the fact that it empowers you. And when you realize you don't need a priest to communicate with God, when you realize that you don't need to, you know, join a cult, so to speak, or join a grouping or something like that in order to have that Christ consciousness, that relationship is you and your creator, like the power that they've gained from that is lost. And it was that in this like moment where we were talking, and I'm like, what if all of this shit isn't real? Like, what if I'm not even real? Like, what if you're not real? And it was just like this moment where we were smoking, you know, we're a little high and we're talking. And it was just like this realization, like, holy shit, like, none of this is real, you know? And like, going back to like, even Rene Descartes, you know, the philosopher Rene Descartes, you know, I think therefore I am. And that was something that just resonated so heavy that it was like, okay, now it's time to start doing something. And so like diving into finding truth and beyond just like truth about deep state or the elites and the cabal and where they get their shit from. It's like, okay, if they have this, you know, then there's obviously something there. So like, where does that come from? And started searching into those kind of things and like learning about crazy things about like, you know, if you go into Anunnaki theory, it's like we come from the stars or come from aliens. It's like, ultimately, though, we all come from the same source. We all come from the stars. And the one thing I realized, especially this go around, was that I spent so much of my life just observing and understanding, you know, that I forgot to actually put it into practice. And so it was this understanding that you can see it, you can feel it, but if you don't work with it, you know, if you don't actively create a spiritual portion of your life, you know, like you don't gain the true gift that you are searching for with it. And so like, that's been a big motivation for me now is just finding like, if something resonates, then following that little breadcrumb and like following it down until it leads me to wherever it's supposed to. And it's like any fear or any doubt that I've had, whether it's like doubt of whether or not it's real, you know what I mean? Or doubt of whether or not I'm actually having these connecting points, you know, like I had a meditative experience about a month ago where I was able to meet my guides. And it was like this pull, the entire experience was crazy because it started from listening to a podcast or a book in the morning. And it was just this understanding that clicked. And I can't even remember what it was, but it was just like, holy shit, I got to go and meditate. I need to get to the mountains. And I live in Arizona. So we don't, you know, in Phoenix, we have mainly desert, not a lot of mountains, but we have a lot of really beautiful areas. You just got to take a drive. And there's a lot of spiritual connections to some of the mountains that we have. And in this process, like through this adventure, like it was just me like listening to the synchronistic cues or the tells, you know, like the voice inside, you know, go here, stop at this place, do this. And through this, I ended up having this meditative experience. I ended up, you know, on this mountain of superstition, you know, mountains. And I had this experience where I connected to, you know, what I feel is the Christ consciousness. And when I came back, I had this astral projection where I felt like my body, my soul coming out of my body, and I could see myself down. And once I had that conscious realization, I came back to, and when I opened my eyes, my guides were like right in front of me. And it's like this moment, like where it's just like, holy shit, all of this is real. Like it really is, you know, like if you were a kid and you like walked in and saw Santa Claus drop in your presents off, it's just like, I knew it. I knew it. Everybody said that this was crazy, but I knew it was right. And it was just like that moment of understanding. It's just like, once I realized to let go of the doubt, like, and to realize that the doubt is all programmed, you know, like all of the things that we tell ourselves about this stuff that makes it like less real has been programmed into us so that we don't take a second look at it and we don't question it. You know what I mean? Like, let go of that. Like, the real magic starts, you know, like the real magic happens, and it's just, it's fucking amazing. You know, like it really is.
Totally. I feel like that's exactly it. And sometimes I feel like a broken record because I'm talking about it all the time about, like, you know, we're so programmed, but it's because I feel, and I had such a relative to, you know, what other people experience. I had such a nice upbringing, but I think that's important because it's important to acknowledge that the programming doesn't only come from direct trauma.
Right.
It's just there. It's there on so many levels to program us into that self-doubt and the low self-worth, questioning of ourselves all the time and deferring to, like, you know, somebody else's explanation must be true.
Yeah.
And when we kind of just get over that, and it's not hard, right? Like it takes time because there's a lot of unprogramming to do, but it also is effortless. You just have to open yourself up to it and let it happen. Let yourself shift into a place of, oh, maybe I'm just going to believe in myself because nothing is objectively true at all. Everything is subjective. So why don't I just believe in myself? Then, my God, everything opens up. And just like you said, like all these synchronicities lead you. And I feel like God wants us to know God and wants us to know ourselves as the creation of God. And so is like, has breadcrumbs for us freaking everywhere. And it's all that programming of self-doubt that keeps us, I don't know, like either keeps us unable to detect those breadcrumbs, or if we detect them, it keeps dismissing it, talking ourselves out of it. I think of all of the programming I received, very loving from, you know, my very loving teachers and parents and family members, people that truly just wanted the best for me. I was really lucky, but it was always this message like, Amy, come back down to earth. Like, Amy, you have to get organized, be responsible. You can't, you have to get your homework done. You have to remember you have piano lessons this day. And it just felt like I was constantly being shoved into like a schedule of stuff that had absolutely no magic to it.
Yeah.
And all I wanted to do was follow the magic and be open to the magic. And I know that that's a common, you know, that's just my version of the same experience that so many people have. And I think it's like, it's really easy to dismiss that, especially if you've had a relatively good childhood, to think to yourself like, oh, because I thought this for a long time, like, who am I to complain? Who am I to blah, 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 when other people have it so much worse? And it's good to acknowledge the ways that, you know, we had it good, but it's also fine to acknowledge what the fuck is the purpose of school other than to train you into fitting into a system and not questioning it, and to
just train an inoculation system, you know?
Yeah. And like to train you into, just like you said earlier in the conversation, believing that there is a right answer and a wrong answer. And you want the right answer because you feel good. You get praised. When you get a wrong answer, you feel ashamed of yourself. You feel like you're not as good as the other kids who got a better mark on their test or who got praised for having the right answer. It's to encourage you to ask for permission of when you can eat, ask for permission of when you can go to the bathroom. Like, it's just,
and the other aspect about it too is it's, you know, especially when you start getting into, like, because for me with school, like I was a very hyperactive kid. I'm a total ball of energy, you know. It's just like almost like Flubber from, you know, way back in the day, right?
Yeah.
And to the point where I constantly got myself in trouble because I couldn't sit still. And it's just like, you know, I don't want to say, you know, disrespect anybody in the teaching industry or whatnot, but I mean, really, when it comes down to it, that's what it's become. Is it's an industry that programs, you know, children to fit into a certain mold, to not think outside of this little box. And when we do that, when we limit the creativity of our children, like, we limit the potential that they are able to reach, you know. And like programming, you know, it kind of like, whether it's from the best of intentions or not, like, you know, it's this conformity aspect to a societal norm. And the reality is that, you know, it's the same thing when you try to put God into a box. It just isn't going to happen. You know, when we try to define the universe, or, you know, in our terms, or the terms of human understanding, we're constantly surprised at how stupid we are, how wrong we really are, you know, like, and it's just like, once you realize that there's more to it than even what we can understand, just being open to the possibility of something more, you know, it is just, life becomes that much better. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Yeah. So that's what we teach our, you know, our kids as well. It's just like, we want to be able to like teach our little girls, like when with this, to harness their magic and to harness their joy and their ability, and to be able to pass that to the world around them, you know, because ultimately, you know, that's kind of feel like what we're supposed to be doing is creating these experiences for ourselves so we can pass them on and be able to push our kids into the right direction instead of the direction that they're going now, you know?
Oh, I think that's so true. Like it makes me very excited for the future, despite all the scary things that, you know, we hear about and all the ramped up agendas to sort of thwart the magic. I feel like actually there are so many people who our parents now who can remember the ways that they felt really dishonored, and they can also see the ways that their parents were similarly dishonored and are just at a place of enough lucidity that they're like, oh, I don't want to keep just blindly passing that on to my kids. I really want to witness their magic and do my best to allow it to be what it already is. Like, I don't have to steer it. I don't have to plant those seeds of magic. I just get to let them be their magic selves and try my best to not, you know, spill my adult crap on them. But I, you know, we probably all still do to some degree or another, because we have blind spots and whatnot. But I think that's one of the most powerful acts of change that we can perform. And even if so, everybody who's listening who isn't a parent, it's recognizing the magic in each other. It's like when somebody opens up and talks to you about their cool experience or whatever, or they're even like just starting to branch into like a deeper understanding of, you know, that there's more going on or whatever. It's like just really seeing and honoring that part of them and not judging each other for not being like awake enough or feeling like, oh, I have more magic than you because I've, you know, seen this, or like I can access the Akashic Records, so I'm the most magic person, or, you know, whatever. Like, it's just realizing all
the ego drive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I think it's a lot of, you know, and that's, you know, within the journey or within the walk, it's, you know, being able to check that, you know, and staying in tune, because it's like that goes back to the same reason of the programming or any of that stuff. It's like when you feed into that egoic self or that egoic mind, you know, it's, you're not coming from it, you know, something with the right intentions, or, you know, intention of true love or unconditional love, you know. And it's, that was a big thing for me, was the understanding or the coping of going back to that right answer, wrong answer. It's like, well, there really isn't either answer. You know what I mean? And like, you know, understanding for myself, like, there is no real one answer, because whether, you know, like you call it Reiki energy or chi or life force or ether, you know, it's all talking about essentially the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, when you look back on like the stories of the gods, like, they're talking about, you know, whether it's Zeus or Hermes or Odin, you know what I mean? Like, they're all kind of talking about the same people in a sense, from different perspectives. And that whole thing of, you know, different paths to the same source really does start to make a lot more sense, because it's that human perspective that changes it, you know? And when we can be more open to listening to others' perspectives, and when we can be more open to, you know, listening to any and everyone's, you know, whether it's, you know, left or right or up or down or
from this walk of life or from this walk of life, you know, when we listen with an open heart and open ears, like we can glean some sort of wisdom from that, you know, and it helps us with our own journey. You know, that's one of my big things at this point is, that's the last thing I'll say, but is the labels. It's like, get away from the fucking labels, man. Like, I get that we all have our trauma, we all have our hurt, but when we see the programming for what it is, and we see that we're being compartmentalized and all of these labels are being forced upon us, it's not a way of empowerment, but it's a way of separation, because we are all one and we're all the same. You know what I mean? Like, we've all had hurt, we've all had pain, but like, we're all the same, you know? Yeah.
And when I think that the where we go wrong with labels is that then like we get a label and we like deeply identify with it.
Yeah.
You know, and it like kind of gets its tentacles into us and who we think we are, and it completely hijacks our experience in the dream.
Thought process and everything, because then it's like you're searching to confirm that belief is true.
Yeah.
Versus looking at the understanding of what that belief really is, you know. It's like, you know, in high school, that was always like, you know, something I never really understood. It's like you had your jocks or your cheerleaders and your goths and your this or your that. And it's like, I don't like being just one person. Like, I like being able to like connect with everybody, you know. Why limit yourself to one rut, you know? And I think that when we try to identify, you know, when we accept those labels that society is forcing down our throats, it keeps us from being able to understand our true nature, you know?
Yeah, I agree completely. It's just allowing ourselves to be undefinable. Yeah, really. It's like anything that we try to seek to define. It's funny because even in physics, I think
the observer effect, right? You know,
yes,
like when you start looking into
physics. What's his name? I can't remember it. I knew it started with an H, but yeah, exactly. That you can't pinpoint the velocity and the location at the same time. You can pinpoint the velocity, but then you don't know the location. You can pinpoint the location, but you don't know the velocity, because there's no, everything is in such flux. Nothing is definable. And when we can just sort of like relax that attachment to defining anything, man, it's like the universe just opens up and yields so much cool shit, because we're no longer filtering it out.
Yeah. And it's, you know, what has blown my mind about all of this is that, you know, what used to just be considered woo-woo crap, you know what I'm saying, is being proven on a consistent basis in quantum physics and in science as of right now, you know. Like, they've proven that, you, like you said, like, you know, you can't measure time and distance at the same time. You know, if you observe a particle, or, you know, and you test that particle, it's going to react differently based on it, whether or not you're actually observing that particle, you know. And in learning that, you know, everything is vibrating or in constant, consistent motion, you know, it's just like, when you start understanding, when you start breaking it down to these little, you know, digestible, easy to like listen to little chunks, right? It's just like, oh wow, yeah, like that makes sense, that makes sense, that makes sense. And all of a sudden you turn back around and you have this whole idea of reality and this understanding that makes so much more sense than just, you know, God created the world in 7 days, and if you don't believe in this, then you're going to hell for eternity, and if you believe this, you're this, you know, this realm of gold-plated roads, and everybody, you know, is going to be there, and it's a party, you know. And it's just like, it's, there's just so much more to it, and it's just like, it, that's what becomes exciting about it, you know. It's just like you start to learn within all of this your little place in it all, and like, I'm happier than I ever have been because of that, you know. And it's just like, because it's that knowledge and that understanding that it's that walk towards our creator, you know, that the ascension through, you know, different realms or dimensions to get to the source, like ultimately that journey doesn't have an ending with this life. And like, it's a continuous learning process. And it's just like, through that, you understand that, you know, time isn't time has no spot here, you know. It's like, you know, when I start getting like frustrated, not frustrated or impatient, I should say, like I've taken on like Reiki and I'm starting into spagyric tinctures and I'm doing all of these different things because I want to explore and experience these different aspects. And there's points with it, like especially being new, it's like, oh man, I can't wait until I can just do this portion or get into this complexity or something like that. And it's like when you realize that it's beyond just this life and that all of this is so much more, it's like you just enjoy the process that much more. Or I do, at least. I'm able to, you know, take every meditation as what it is, or take every yoga practice, or take every Reiki session, or every, you know, ritual or ceremony. It's like you just take it for what it is, and everything kind of connects, and everything will get to where it is, and we'll ascend when we are right and when the time is right. And for now, it's about just acting, you know. And that's always, that's I guess my biggest takeaway with this is that you don't learn anything fully, or you don't truly grasp it until you start to actually do these things. You know, it's, you know, I started Reiki because it's synchronistically been put into my life in different points. I feel the energies of crystals, and I feel a lot of the energy force from these things. And it got to the point where I was just like, you know what, like this is obviously being shown to me, so I have to see if it's real. And if it's not, whatever, if it is, great, you know. And it's like the more that I just practice and the more that I just kind of say, I don't know if this is, you know, I don't have any expectations. I don't have any set standards that this is successful or this is not. I'm just going to allow myself to be in the moment and be there, and whatever comes may come. And it's like the most freeing experience, because that's when you really connect with all of this stuff, you know. And that's when I've connected is by practicing these different things, like, you know, working through understanding, getting into the Akasha, or working with Reiki, or working with crystal energy, or, you know, creating spells and rituals and working with the magic of the moon. It's like observing and participating create two totally different understandings. And that was what I had to realize for myself. And now that I'm fully engrossing into it, it's just so much of a different heartfelt experience that just, you know, your soul connects with.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, there's so much to play with. There's such not any scarcity or pressure that we've been manipulated to believe that there is. It's so much more of a playful experience and exciting. And like you said, like not letting it just lead you to where it wants to lead you and become what it wants to become, and not have an end, rigid end destination in mind. It opens up so much potential for our expansion. I really don't think it's any more complicated than that. I really don't. Dustin, this has been such a beautiful conversation. I'm so glad that you agreed to come on the podcast and share your perspective and your really cool stories. I feel like this is going to be expansive for the listeners. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It was an amazing experience, and one that I hope to continue on with. So thank you so much for helping me kind of start this.
No problem. This is Dustin's first podcast conversation. So I feel very honored. I hope you didn't feel grilled.
Yeah, no, I think you can tell as from beginning to end, it got a lot more comfortable a lot quickly. So I do appreciate the space you gave. So thank you so much.
And thank you, beautiful listeners. As always, I appreciate you beyond words. I love you beyond words. You make this podcast possible, because otherwise I would just be talking to friends or talking to myself. So I'm so excited to be on this co-creative journey with you. I appreciate your time in listening to this episode, and I hope you have a beautiful day or night wherever you are, and I will catch you on the next one.
Hello, beautiful being of shadow and light. If you loved this episode and you want more, you can join my new membership, Light Codes. This membership is the place where you will receive all the light codes that I am channeling on how to navigate the intensifying energies of this next phase of the rapid awakening and ascension of the human collective consciousness on Earth. But also all the light codes on how to step into our highest selves, to activate our soul mission, to harness our magic and power as creators, and to manifest the highest timelines for ourselves and for the collective. To find out more information about light codes and all the ways to work with me, see the link in the show notes or visit amybelair.com. Thank you so much for being here with me on this episode. I appreciate you more than my words could ever say. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share, and I will catch you on the next episode.